And every year as we begin the holiest week of our liturgical year, we begin with the solemn reading of the Passion of Christ. And I thank all of you for your rigorous participation as all of us proclaim the gospel of the Passion of the Christ. And I would even add the lone voice, I think, on this side of the church who knew that when the soldiers struck Jesus, the word they said was not prophecy, but prophesy. Spelled the same way, but prophecy is the noun, prophesy is the verb and the command. And yes, every year, crowd tends to say prophecy. Keep that in mind in the future. But we begin our holiest week of the year, and we come together, hopefully with a resolve each year to participate in these high holy days. I always have to admit, and the elderly and those who don't move around as much are always the exception here, that we sometimes see at the beginning of each week, as I said before Mass, we begin Mass outside. You could always count on one thing with Catholics. You ask them to do something different, and they will sit there and do nothing. This is a week in which we do something very, very different, because this week stands out. We begin Mass outside with the blessing of the palms and a solemn procession coming in. And during the course of this week, as it draws to a close, we enter into our highest holy days, in which we celebrate the sacred Triduum Mass, a single liturgy that begins on Holy Thursday with the Mass of the Lord's Supper and ends on Holy Saturday with the Easter Vigil. Those constitute our highest holy days of the year, which, ironically, are not holy days of obligation. Because the Church doesn't want us to be there because we have to be there. The Church wants a true purity of intention as we come to our highest holy days, and we are there because we see the importance of these feasts, and we truly desire to be there. And the thing about those days is, even though they are not obligatory, all 3 days should see a packed church. A packed church of Catholics eager to celebrate our high holy days. We hear about the high holy days of Judaism, Passover, Rosh Hashanah. We even hear about the high holy days of Islam, more so nowadays than we have before. But Catholics are often very remiss to participate in their own high holy days, if they even know about them at all, because they're at inconvenient times during the week or in the middle of the day, as on Good Friday, or in the Easter Vigil. We have that elongated 3-hour-plus liturgy in which many people think, let's go to the Easter Vigil and then catch a movie. Or let's go to the Easter Vigil and then catch dinner. When we go to the Easter Vigil, we make a night of it, because it is the night in which we keep vigil at the tomb of Christ. We are the first to celebrate his resurrection, but not before we welcome new people into our community of faith, baptizing, confirming, and giving First Eucharist to people joining our Catholic community. But the Triduum celebrations are not the only things that are observed this week. As an archdiocese, Monday evening, I believe it's 7, people from all over the archdiocese, priests and lay people, will gather at the cathedral for the Chrism Mass, in which Archbishop Gomez will bless the oils that will be used in the administration and conferring of the sacraments over the course of the year. Those oils will be presented formally and solemnly in this church on Holy Thursday, the oil of the sick, the oil of catechumens, and the Holy Chrism. And we priests will renew our promises before our bishop as we prepare to enter into these high holy days of Easter. On Holy Thursday, because we have the Mass of the Lord's Supper, there will be no daily Mass at its regular time, or on Friday or Saturday. Because we focus solely on the Mass of the Lord's Supper in the evening. But we will begin the day, and on Friday and Saturday, with morning prayer, which those who normally come on the weekdays gather to celebrate the Liturgy of the Hours, the Breviary. Some of you might remember seeing the old Monsignor as you grew up wandering in the yard, usually swinging his legs as he does it, holding what you thought was a little Bible. But it's not. It's the Liturgy of the Hours, which is the prayer of the Church. And because it's universal, everyone is praying the same prayers from that book throughout the world, It is a liturgy that unites us to everyone in the church as we pray it. It's the breviary, the office, the divine office, the liturgy of the hours, and morning prayer will be celebrated here in the church on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. In addition, on Good Friday, while we are still in the midst of that long liturgy, at the end of Holy Thursday Mass, there is no blessing, there is no dismissal, just a solemn procession after the prayer in which the Eucharist is taken from the church, and all churches and chapels are emptied of the presence of the Eucharist until the night before Easter. There will be an opportunity to worship the Eucharist in the hall following the Holy Thursday Mass for a couple of hours, but when we gather here on Good Friday, the tabernacle will be open and empty. No Mass is celebrated anywhere in the world on Good Friday, which would seem unusual, but it is a tradition of our church. And before we celebrate the solemn liturgy of the Lord's Passion at roughly 1:30 to 2 o'clock, we will begin that period of prayer with the Office of Readings, another part of the Liturgy of the Hours, the Divine Office, the Breviary, in which our choir will sing in responsorial psalm fashion three psalms that are considered to be prophetic with regard to what we are celebrating on Good Friday. After those three psalms are sung, two of our lectors will read two readings, one from the letter to the Hebrews, and the other, a reading from one of the early fathers of the church, St. John Chrysostom, which speak about the shedding of blood in a sacrifice by our high priest on the altar that is the cross. It's a very meditative beginning to our 3 hours of prayer on Good Friday. And I encourage all of you, if you can make it at 12 o'clock, to come and begin that period of prayer with the meditations of those three psalms that will be sung, the two readings that will be read. Very intriguing and very spiritually oriented to help prepare us through that meditation, through those readings, as we enter into the Stations of the Cross, which here will be done in the form of the Living Stations by our youth group, led by Father Shea, and going directly into the Liturgy of the Lord's Passion, which is part two of the Triduum celebration that are our highest liturgical celebrations of the Church. In Spanish, it will be celebrated in the evening, starting with the Stations of the Cross at 5, and then concluding in the church with the Liturgy of the Lord's Passion in Spanish. And on Holy Saturday, we have our highest holy night of the year. It's always a trick question I like to ask children. What's the holiest night of the year? And invariably, they say Christmas Eve, because they know they're going to get presents, if they're good, the next day from my great uncle, Santa Claus, otherwise known as St. Nicholas. But the holiest night of the year is not Christmas Eve, but Holy Saturday evening, in which in vigil, in which we have multiple readings in our Mass, in which we enter into the church in darkness, broken only by the light of the newly lit Easter candle, lit with a newly blessed fire, which we enter into in procession, and that light breaks the darkness, we keep vigil. As if to keep vigil at the tomb of Jesus, waiting for that moment when the stone was rolled back and Jesus manifests himself in the resurrection. We celebrate by welcoming new members into our church and then celebrating the Holy Mass for the first time since Holy Thursday evening. I encourage all of you to seriously consider doing something different, adjusting your schedules, bringing your children, introducing them to these high holy days, teaching them patience, but teaching them also prayer and the value of these days, which are our high holy days of the year, in which we come together to celebrate the central event of our faith and the event that we have been preparing for over 40 days to celebrate and which we will be celebrating for 50 days afterwards. The celebration that defines us as a people of God, as a people of faith, as a people of salvation. Let us, as one community of faith in the parish of St. Rose of Lima, come together on these high holy days to truly celebrate with joy, with resolve, and in deep, deeply rooted, unmovable faith, the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ.